ask your continued interest in your prayers. When Brother Thomas said what he did about the Lord looking forward to the resurrection as much as we are, I agreed wholeheartedly with him. I just was pondering that thought for a second, so that's why I didn't say amen. Now, the rest of you have to tell him why you did. Aren't you thankful that our God, this King, immortal, all-wise, cannot change, cannot die, cannot lie, cannot deny himself? That's our God. He's able to do his will. He's able to keep us. He's able to watch over us each day. As a matter of fact, just continuing on with who he is, I want to speak this morning on what he's given us. I can say that in one word: grace. Grace. Are you familiar with grace? I'm talking about the grace that the Bible speaks of. You know, sometimes you're talking the same word with somebody and all of a sudden you realize you're not using it in the same way. Kind of like Elder Sonny Powell used to say, some folks use our dictionary, but some folks use our vocabulary, but they don't use our dictionary. Grace. Grace is unmerited favor. Grace is not something that he's given you because you're so good.
That's right.
Or because you did something.
That's right.
Or because you brought yourself into favor. Or because you did something that somebody said would obligate him to do something for you. Grace is unmerited favor. Now, that's a huge subject. And I'm just going to have to take parts of it this morning. But in Ephesians chapter 1 and 2, there's a tremendous amount that we're taught about the grace of God. All right, I'll just jump into one that's probably very familiar with you in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. Ephesians 2 and verse 8. For by grace are you saved. Well, if that's how we're saved, I think I need to be interested in that, don't you? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not an offer. It is the gift of God, not of works. You didn't do anything for it. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created. Now, if you're created, that means there's a creator. And if you're created, then that means you're the creature. Simple enough? Okay. For we are his workmanship. That tells us who the creator is. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That means he has made us in such a way that we're capable of doing those things. All right? Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That's it. That's worded in a very interesting way. That we should walk in them. Do you walk in good works? Yes, preacher, I do. Well, we strive to do that. We strive to honor our King. Okay? We strive to honor him and to do the best we can, but sometimes we come short. Sometimes we stumble along the way. Sometimes we're distracted. Sometimes something comes up and this old flesh rears its ugly head. I'm ashamed to say it, but it does. And you know from your own experience how quickly that can happen. We're created unto good works. He has before ordained that we should walk in them. By God's amazing grace. Don't you love that hymn? Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, what was that TV personality years ago that said, I'm not a wretch? He wouldn't sing that song. He said, I'm not a wretch. Feel somebody. He said, I'm not a wretch. Well, we don't try to be. But by nature, that's what we are. Vile. Sinful. By nature. But the grace of God. He gives us a new nature that desires God, that desires to do good. Even the Apostle Paul, in Romans chapter 7, he speaks of that conflict that we have. Even those children of God that are quickened by the grace of God, we still got that old nature in us, and it still gives us problems. He said, the good that I would, I do not. And that which I would not, that I, now he's not saying that that's all he ever does, but he says it happens. And it happens to you, doesn't it? But the good news is, we are saved. That means it's already completed by the blood of Jesus, and we can never be separated from that love which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so we can confess our sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and then we can get up and go again. God's a God of second chances and third chances. And I'm talking about in that way of feeling forgiveness. When we realize that we've sinned, we can go to God, we can confess our sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive us. Why? Because he has saved us through his Son, Jesus Christ. And I want to back up to chapter 1. Well, let's see. Let's back up to the beginning of this chapter. There's so many places we could go, but this chapter, beginning of this chapter, chapter 2, Ephesians. Without the grace of God, just as we are born naturally into this world, here's the way it would be. Okay? Chapter Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now, he didn't say you were sick. He didn't say you needed some rehabilitation. You were dead. And that means exactly what it says. You were dead in trespasses and sins. In other words, you had no spiritual life about you. You were dead in trespasses and sins. Now, there's a lot of good folks. There's a lot of godly folk. There's a lot of folks that love the Lord genuinely, but they teach it a little different way. They speak of this gospel as like a rope that a man that's dead in trespasses and sins down in a pit, and if you could throw that gospel rope down in there, and all they have to do is grab hold of that rope, and you could pull them out with the gospel, and they could be saved. Well, from the day-to-day trials that we're facing and from things that happen to us each day, we can be delivered from those things. But if we're dead in trespasses and sins, that little illustration there, you don't have life to reach up and grab the rope. That's the problem with that. He's speaking of one who does not have spiritual life. He does not have spiritual hearing to hear the gospel. He doesn't have spiritual eyes to see the kingdom of God. And he doesn't have any desire for it. He's dead in trespasses and sins. And so until God quickens us by his Spirit, that's what he's saying here. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time, and then he's going to give a couple of verses here about what you would have been, what you were, and what you would have continued to do if it hadn't been for the grace of God, if it hadn't been for the quickening of the Spirit of God. He says, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That spirit's a little S. There is a spirit working in this world that's not good. The children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. In other words, we ourselves at some point in our lives acted just like anybody else that's not quickened by the Spirit of God. Now, we do have at least one in the Bible, John the Baptist, that leaped for joy in his mother's womb. So the Lord had already quickened John the Baptist in his mother's womb. Could he do it again? Sure he could. God does what he wants to. All right? But there's a whole lot of folks that experience that later in their life. Whereas at one time they went according to this world, and you know, I mentioned the hymn Amazing Grace. Do you know anything about the history of John Newton? You ever read much about the history of John Newton? When John Newton was going about acting like the rest of the folks in this world, and I understand that he was a very ungodly man for a lot of his life, who would have thought that he could ever have penned such a hymn as Amazing Grace? But that's what grace does. It changes us. It changes us. It gives us a desire we didn't have before. It gives us an appetite we didn't have before. It gives us a sight that we didn't have before, hearing that we didn't have before, a taste that we didn't have before the grace of God came to us. And so he says, but God. Why didn't he say, but you? But you saw it differently. You had a change of heart. You did something to change that. Because man by nature doesn't have that desire. Okay? But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. In such a condition, you are safe from eternal ruin because God, who is rich in mercy, we needed mercy, and God's rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. We needed someone to love us when we were unlovable. And that's what God does for us. He reaches down where we are. He doesn't meet us halfway. He doesn't wait for us to reach up to him. He comes to us. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. So he says, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves. It's the gift. The gift of God. Have you thanked him for that gift lately? Yes. Are you thankful for it today? Yes. If he's blessed you to know who the Lord Jesus Christ is, I mean who he truly is, the one who loved us and gave himself for us to redeem us from our sins, and that he finished that work, and that we are saved wholly by the blood of Jesus. If you know that, you're a blessed character. Isn't that what Jesus told Peter? Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 16. All right, you're a blessed character if you know that. And it's not because you figured it out. It's because God blessed you with it. He revealed it to you. And so, that's why we give him all praise and all glory and all honor to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the one who loved us, who had mercy upon us, who sent his Son to save us. We are safe in the blood of Jesus. We're preserved in Christ Jesus. He's coming back to get us all. He's not going to leave one behind. And I agree with Brother Thomas. He must be, that's about my persuasion as well, he must be waiting for every heir of grace to be born, or at least conceived, so that he can take them home to be with him when he comes. Now that makes sense to me, and I hope it's according to the scriptures. Because he said, John chapter 6, he said, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all that thou hast given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. Well, if he's got heirs of grace and they're not born yet, then he needs to wait for them to be born. Or at least, as he says, or at least conceived. All right? So we find that God's grace reaches all that he chose in Christ. If you go back to chapter 1 of Ephesians. And I got a few more minutes here, so I'm going to hasten on. All right? Paul introduces the letter and he says, grace and peace, grace to you and peace. But verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. All right? When he said, by grace, you're saved. And if it took the Lord Jesus Christ, and it did, it took the Lord Jesus Christ to be the one to suffer and die, to redeem us, to save us, because that's what the angel told Joseph before Jesus was born, that thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's what he had to do. So he said, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all that thou hast given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. When Jesus comes again, he's going to gather up all that he'd saved and take us home to be with him forever. But let me read just a few more verses here in this first chapter of the book of Ephesians, because it has an awful lot to say about this grace that's been given to us through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 3 tells us that every spiritual blessing we have comes to us through Christ Jesus. In other words, he's the one that was given to be the substitute for our sins. He's the one that was the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. He's the one that went to the cross. He's the one who had the pure, incorruptible blood. He's the one that was the fit sacrifice for our sins. He's the one who suffered and died to redeem us from our sins. He's the one that's coming back to gather up all for whom he died. All spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus, and they come to us through him. Verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That's what grace has done for us. Grace has brought this to us. Okay? Having predestinated us. Now, that predestination is not that he's predetermined everything you're ever going to do. We don't believe that. But God's purpose was that he would save his people from their sins by sending his Son to this world. Bless your hearts, that's going to stand. All right? According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, Don't you love that grace? I hope you do. I tell you, the longer I live, the more shortcomings I see in myself, the more I appreciate, the more I thank God for the grace that's been given to us through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's the only way we could be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. All right? It's through him this grace is given to us. He did it for us. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us, see, by the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the forgiveness that we have through his blood, we are made, and that we have that position before God, we have that grace from God, that we are made accepted in the beloved. He's made us accepted. I'm so thankful for that, because I could never do that. I could never live up to that. And I know there's some folks claim they don't sin, but I do. They'll have to take that up with their Creator, but I do. I have to confess that, because the Spirit of God in me convicts me of it. And to confess is to say the same thing. What you feel in your heart, you say with your mouth. All right? And so I have to confess that I'm a sinner. But our forgiveness is in Jesus Christ. Our eternal forgiveness is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He hath made us accepted in the beloved. There's another verse over in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, where Paul says, For he, Father, he hath made him, the Son, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In him. Grace. Unmerited favor. Christ was given for us. Unmerited favor bestowed upon undeserving individuals. That's me. That's you. Undeserving. Now, hopefully, by the grace of God, We want to honor him. We want to serve him. We want to do the best we can. We want to be faithful in the kingdom of God. We want to take what God's given us and reflect it to others. Reflect that love. Reflect that mercy. Reflect that forgiveness. Reflect whatever we can to the glory of God. And to be a blessing to those around us. And guess what? Sometimes that appears in people where in our mind we might think, well, they're not worthy. Well, guess what? Neither were you. But that's what grace is all about. Reaching down to us where we are, though as worthy as we are, and blessing us. Grace. I wish I could preach this the way it is. Grace is so glorious. Next time you sing that song, well, we might just use that in the closing hymn this morning. Amazing grace. Just notice those words as you go through there. Grace that taught my heart to fear. I didn't fear God before grace appeared. And grace will lead me on. The Apostle James, in his epistle of James, he says, He giveth more grace. So not only did God purpose in eternity past that he would send his son to save his people from their sins, and not only in eternity future will to us will we praise him for his amazing grace, but right now we need grace every day, don't we? We need grace every step of the day. We need grace for every thought we have. We need grace all day long, every day, not just till Jesus comes again, but bless your hearts, as long as we're here in this life, we need the grace of God. And when he comes and gathers us up to take us home, he'll deliver us from this old corruption that's in this flesh. Whether he changes us because we're still alive, or whether he raises us from the dust and refashions us like unto his glorious body and to take us home to be with him forever. Bless your hearts. Until such time, we need grace every day. You might say, well, preacher, I don't need grace. Life's going good for me. I beg to differ. You don't know what's going to happen in the next 5 minutes. You don't know what's going to happen in the next 5 seconds. This old ticker could start hurting really bad. You know, I mean, it's possible. I had a brother that at 43 years old, one day at work, he just fell to the floor. And that was it. Doctor said with what he had, he probably was dead before he hit the floor. So when I got to 43, I was worried. The point is, we need the grace of God every day. Titus says, for the grace of God, which bringeth salvation, hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And that's what I leave you with this morning. Grace has taught our heart to fear, and it's grace that will lead us on. Oh, may God help us to rejoice in his amazing grace, to thank him every day for the grace that's been bestowed upon us, and to praise him for his grace each day, and ask him, you know, I said that, you know, some people might think, well, I don't need God, things are going good for me. Okay, but there may come a time, and there does come times, when things are not going well for you. And that's when we more keenly feel our need of the grace of God. But like I quoted from James, he giveth more grace. And I'm going to tell you, he abounds with grace. He is able to supply our every need. Whatever it is, whatever situation we're facing, whatever comes up in life, when times are good, when times are not good, whatever we face in each day, God's grace is sufficient. Isn't that what Paul found out? I know the time's gone, but Paul found that out. He begged the Lord 3 times that thorn in his flesh would be removed. It didn't please God to remove it. Don't you wish your prayers was just always answered just like that? How many times have we had prayers that we were just begging God for to answer right away and he didn't? Well, it's not because he's not good enough. And it's not because we're not good enough in Christ. It's because sometimes he has a higher purpose for what we're going through. Do you hear that? Sometimes he has a higher purpose for what we're going through. And that's exactly what it was with Paul. Because God said, my grace. See, Paul, God didn't remove the thorn from Paul. But he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Now you can take that means 2 things at least. One, the grace that we've been given through our Lord Jesus Christ, heaven is our home. I don't know what we're going to have to face between now and then, but heaven is our home. But he also has grace sufficient for every trial we face. Now that ought to be encouraging. It encourages me that we can trust the Lord whatever we're going through. We can trust him. We can look to him knowing that he loves us, knowing that the great love that he had for us, that he sent his son to die in our stead, and that he loves us each day in watching over us and providing for us. He gave us his spirit to lead us and guide us in the right way. He blesses us each day. He loads us with benefits. He continues to remind us of his goodness and mercy every day. Why aren't we praising God more than we do? Why aren't we giving him praise and honor and glory more than we do? Maybe you're doing a lot of it, and thank the Lord for it. But I don't believe there's a person in this room that does it too much. I don't believe there's a person in this room that praises God as much as they could. Isn't he worthy of it? If you've been listening this morning, you know there's reason for us to praise him every day we live. I know we will in heaven, but let's get some practice in now. Let's do it now to the praise of his glory, to honor that King of Kings, that our life and our actions and our choices are honoring that crown of glory that he wears, and that we are giving glory and praise and honor to the one that loved us and gave himself for us. May God bless you is our prayer.